Opinions expressed on ACB Media are those of the content creators and should not be assumed to reflect product endorsements or the views of the American Council of the Blind, its elected officials, or its staff.
Welcome to Speaking Out for the Blind. I'm Brian McCallan. The San Francisco Chronicle and KRON-TV report that advocates for California's blind voters want help from federal courts. The advocates are suing California's Secretary of State. The suit comes after the state's rules give no other choice to blind and visually impaired individuals but to give their ballots to other people in order to vote by mail. The two major plaintiffs are the California Council of the Blind and the National Federation of the Blind of California. California Council of the Blind member Jeff Tom, National Federation of the Blind of California member Tim Elder, and Disability Rights Advocate Staff Attorney Rosie Lee Bischel are here to talk about the suit. Welcome to the show, everyone.
Thank you.
Thanks. Glad to be here.
Thanks so much.
Glad you're all here. Tim, Jeff, and Rosie, tell us more about yourselves.
My name's Tim Elder. I'm an attorney advocate. I do a lot of work with the National Federation of the Blind and its extensive legal advocacy program, and including its intake for like receiving complaints and responding to institutional concerns like this. And I am also the elected leader of our California affiliate, where we implement this kind of advocacy. So I'm thrilled to be here.
Good morning. I'm Jeff Tom. I'm the volunteer governmental affairs director for the California Council of the Blind and a past president of the organization. I'm glad to be here as well.
And hello, everyone. My name is Rosie Bischel. I'm a staff attorney at Disability Rights Advocates, a disability advocacy nonprofit that primarily does impact litigation, seeking to advance the rights of folks with all kinds of disabilities. And my organization and several others are litigating this case that we will be discussing during this episode.
Welcome to the show, everybody. Jeff, I'm going to briefly tell you a story here from fellow CCB member Vita Zavoli. I was born in Italy and came to the U.S. at age 3 with my parents and other siblings with a green card. It wasn't until my early 20s that I became a citizen. When I was sworn in, one of the first things I did was register to vote. I feel privileged to have the right to vote, and I take every opportunity to make it happen. That's why this case is so important to me. We're talking about how California isn't providing any options to blind and visually impaired voters, but to just hand their ballots to another person when voting by mail. Why is this currently the only option?
Well, it's currently the only option because under the current system, although you are able to access through some computer-generated software, you can currently access and mark a ballot, or at least mark a piece of paper. That piece of paper must then be printed out, assuming you have a printer to do it with, and then put in a signed ballot envelope. A blind person doesn't know whether that piece of paper has anything on it or not, or whether it includes the exact choices that that person intended to mark. So the only real way to make sure that you get your signed envelope sent back with the correct ballot is to ask a sighted person to read it.
Tim, why do you think this vote by mail requirement's discriminating against blind voters?
No. Oh, go ahead, Tim.
So California is definitely behind the legal curve on this one. There have been longstanding efforts and in legal cases and lawsuits that have been successful in Maryland and Ohio to make sure that blind people have equal access to absentee voting. And in this case, California residents who are blind, they don't get equal access to absentee. Yes, we can fill out our ballots, but that's just one piece of what everybody else gets to enjoy. When a sighted person gets their absentee ballot, they get everything they need in that paper ballot to return that absentee ballot. But for a blind person, not so much.
Rosie, how did the NFBC and the CCB decide to ask the San Francisco Federal Magistrate to order that the state allow blind and visually impaired voters with mental or physical conditions preventing them from filling out paper ballots to use electronic equipment or fax machines to return the ballots.
So California's vote-by-mail program imposes significant and unlawful barriers for voters with print disabilities, as Jeff and Tim have already described. And as a result of these barriers, voters with print disabilities are forced to sacrifice the secrecy of their vote if they wish to vote by mail. The California Secretary of State can make the vote-by-mail program accessible to voters with print disabilities by providing an accessible electronic mechanism they can use with their own these voters can use with their own device, personal devices and assistive technology for their ballot return. And the state already permits certain overseas and military voters to return their ballots by one version of electronic return, which is by fax. So we've asked the court to expand that fax-based option to voters with print disabilities for the November 2024 general election, since most of that infrastructure to do so is already in place for those other California voters. And allowing voters with print disabilities to return their ballots electronically by fax, or perhaps eventually a more accessible, you know, broadly dedicated voter portal that is integrated with a pre-existing RA remote accessible vote by mail systems in use across the state would allow voters with print disabilities to use their own devices not only to mark their ballots but also review and submit them privately and independently without having to be forced to give up their secret ballot.
So, Tim, over 10 states provide the electronic technology for returning the ballots.
That's right. NFB and the legal community has been advocating for this for some time now. And we've had great success with working with other states to make this a reality. So many states of all different sizes and political demographics have jumped onto this trend, from Hawaii, Utah, Colorado, Massachusetts, and even Maine, right? All the way across the spectrum throughout the United States, states are adopting solutions that allow blind people to not only fill out their ballot electronically, but also to return it electronically, which eliminates any need for paper that would pose barriers to a blind person.
Jeff and Tim, when you got to rely on the assistance of others to return your ballots, who are those people and how are you sure that they're going to complete the printed ballots at your requests?
Well, I mean, they can be people who volunteer to come read to you or who you pay to come read to you. They can be a loved one, or they can be, in some cases, an home care worker. It can be many people, but you never know for sure whether or not they are going to, you know, provide you with exact information. And I know that if a sighted voter had to use someone else to cast their vote for them, they certainly wouldn't want to do that either.
Yeah, I would agree with all that. I mean, this looks very different depending on what the individual circumstances are for that blind person. For a blind person living alone with no family or housemates, it could be bringing someone external in, a friend, a family member who doesn't even live in the same house. Maybe there's travel that's required to do this. I mean, for me personally, right, this would likely be my wife. And in the past, I've had to rely on my wife. And look, I'm not going to go on record and say that I don't trust my wife to make sure that my ballot has validly printed and you know, given me the selections that I desired. But, you know, my wife and I don't always totally agree on all things political. And that creates some concern. And also, I think that the bigger picture is, look, if you're a blind person and you're dependent on sighted family members for certain things, you have a limited currency, right? That's a strain on your personal relationships, whether it's your wife or your child or your whatever, right? Being required in order to cast a vote to depend on that other person, it's a strain and a cost on your personal relationships. And it's a cost that sighted people don't have to negotiate. So this solution that we're proposing with a permanent injunction or preliminary injunction right now would enable blind people to afford themselves of that equal access to independently casting their vote at all stages of the voting process.
But the alternative is just to simply vote in person, right?
That's correct.
Or there's another, which is not to vote at all, which, you know, given the amount of friction and difficulty with doing this, might be the case. California has shifted to this new vote center model, which means polling places are a lot farther away than they used to be. So it may not be just walking down to your local elementary school or church, right? It may be an Uber ride or something, involving actual transportation, which might actually deter people from casting their vote at all.
Moreover, for many decades, Californians have shown that they want to vote less and less by going to their precincts and more by mail or through absentee ballots, essentially. And now counties are on this same train because counties realize that vote by mail systems are cheaper for local governments to implement. So it's going to become harder and harder to vote at a precinct, especially in rural areas where indeed it may be, 30 or 40 miles to your local precinct. And since you have to use public transportation as a blind person, there may be no way to get there.
This is Rosie, if I may jump in for a second. I would also just note that even if in-person voting were perfectly accessible and there weren't the barriers that Jeff and Tim have already described, under federal disability law and some of the cases that Tim alluded to earlier in other states, California is required to have its vote by mail program be accessible in its own right, distinct from, other mechanisms for voting. So if voting in person were perfectly accessible, that wouldn't matter. That wouldn't really have an impact on the relief that we're seeking here, since the vote by mail program itself must be made accessible under federal disability law.
So the votes, they aren't secret or secure when you're relying on the third parties to help you with the printed paper ballots. Rosie, what vote by mail solution are the plaintiffs looking for to respect that right to vote independently and privately?
So the ultimate goal is to make sure that people can engage in every step of the voting process, from requesting their ballots to returning them fully, privately, and independently, using their own devices and their own assistive technology that they use every day to conduct other activities. And so there are multiple accessible electronic options to do so already in use in other states. As Tim already mentioned, some states allow some voters with print disabilities to return their ballots by email or fax. And others use dedicated online voting portals. As I already mentioned as well, we've asked for a fax option for November, since California already allows some of its voters to return their ballots that way. And this is one electronic option that folks could use their own devices that would be minimally burdensome to implement for the state and the counties. In the long run, though, we do hope to push for even more broadly accessible mechanisms that could be integrated with the remote accessible vote by mail technology used across the state.
Let's talk about where you guys are in the suit. You sent off the complaint, right?
Correct.
Okay.
So, go ahead.
And what are the next steps? I mean, when's the trial going to happen? What has the California Secretary of State already said about this? Any sort of further action?
Sure, I can speak to that.
Okay.
So we filed this suit in March, and then in April, we followed up, early April, we followed up with a request for a preliminary injunction, which is the request that's seeking this fax option for November. The different parties, the Secretary of State's office, our side, have to exchange some briefs. So the state has responded with their opposition to our request for a preliminary injunction. And we have the opportunity to respond to that. But then what's really key here is that there is a hearing set on this request for a preliminary injunction on June 3rd, where we will have oral arguments in support of our preliminary injunction. And we're hoping to have clarity on the court's position soon thereafter, so that there will be plenty of time for any implementation that needs to happen by November. Regarding that hearing, there are ways to tune in remotely. We're still figuring out if that hearing is going to be fully remote or if it's going to be those of us arguing will be in person. But we do encourage folks to, if they can attend in person, do so at the federal court in San Francisco. And then, of course, anyone from the public can tune in by a Zoom webinar on the court's website.
That's going to be great. What have other blind voters said about the lawsuit and this whole issue? Anyone?
I think people are excited about this in the blindness community. This is a longstanding problem. California is usually the leader on accessible technology and promoting more participation in voting. So it's unfortunate that we're here and that other states are really far ahead of where California is on this issue.
Have other states filed similar suits? And will there also be national action taken?
Well, there have been, efforts nationally, but at this point, there is very little possibility of national action succeeding, at least in the short term. However, as we talked about earlier, a number of states have had success, not only judicially, but with legislative efforts as well, including West Virginia and Colorado and a few other states. So it is something that both the judiciary and the legislative branches of government in a number of states have recognized as being truly equitable and necessary for voters who are blind or who have low vision.
And I would note, just reiterating that there have been cases in other states across the country already. And this is really part of a broader movement that I think Tim alluded to earlier, really led by the National Federation of the Blind and the American Council of the Blind and their local affiliates in each of these states to try to increase accessibility of absentee voting and voting by mail across the country. But because a lot of voting is so state specific, it does kind of require that state by state, brick by brick approach in order to actually achieve real accessibility.
So how about the in-person voting experience? Is everything okay when you actually go to the polls and work on your ballots?
That is really something that varies dramatically from place to place. And it varies due to a number of factors. First, it can matter with respect to the poll worker training itself, which in some areas is excellent. In some areas leaves something to be desired in terms of what they know about the technology that we use. And secondly, some voting machines work far better than others. And the degree to which the voting machine works well really is of great importance in determining a person's voting experience.
Go ahead.
I have had both positive and negative experiences at in-person polling places. I've had it work. I've had machines that just did not work at all. And there have been times when I absolutely did want to go to a polling place to take my kids in, to let them see the process at our local community elementary school and be involved with that. And then there have been times when I just didn't have the time and I really needed to be able to vote through the absentee by mail process. So, and as the polling places have shifted away from my house, I'm less interested in kind of becoming more removed from this in-person polling place experience.
I think another piece from my understanding from chatting with folks who have had personal experience with barriers with voting in person is not only a variability in terms of the, you know, functioning machines or not, but also in terms of the level of familiarity and training for poll workers with those machines and familiarity with how to assist folks with using those machines to the extent that they need them. So there are multiple levels that I understand to pose some barriers when folks want to vote in person as well.
Yeah, just as an example, there are times when I've talked to voters who are blind and the problem began with the fact that the poll worker didn't even know how to turn on the machine. And so they actually had to call someone in and that could create an hour's delay or a half hour's delay or whatever. And in other places, the poll workers are trained excellently. They're usually very nice and usually trying to do the best they can. But as I say, the experience varies from place to place.
Yeah, I'm a person who votes by mail now, my family and I, and we just do it that way because it's so much easier than taking the time to go to the polls because we don't have a lot of time. I just pretend we're like in Oregon, where in Oregon, everybody does mail-in ballots. So I
wouldn't be surprised if we're there in 20 years. I'm not saying we will or we won't be, but we're certainly heading more and more in that direction.
Yeah, I agree with you, Jeff. Is there anything else you all would like to add?
I just want to thank you, Brian, for giving us the opportunity to tell folks about this lawsuit and give them an understanding of why it's so important.
Yep. And I want to say that NFB has a really robust legal advocacy program that depends on people raising these big picture concerns at an individual level. So folks can go to nfb.org or call 410-659-9314 to report any problems they have with voting in their states or any other legal issue that they're concerned about. This has been a real pleasure working with Jeff and the great folks at CCB. I think we have really done great work together on a coordinated legal strategy, and I'm thrilled to be working with them and to continue working with them on these important issues for blind people.
This will bring both ACB and NFB members to this show and to this cause. Everyone, thanks for joining us today. Let's hope we win this suit for all blind voters.
Absolutely.
All right. Thanks, everyone. Before we go, listeners, I welcome your comments on this program. Just visit and like me on Facebook at Speaking Out for the Blind, or follow me on X at Speak Out Blind or Speak Out for the Blind. You can also check out my website. That's speakingoutfortheblind.weebly.com. More information on today's show is posted there. Just look under the list of episodes and show news tab. And my show archive is at speaking-out-for-blind.pinecast.co. That's all for this edition of Speaking Out for the Blind. Thanks for listening, and remember to speak out.
The American Council of Blind Lions, ACBL, is the affiliate that roars, and that's no lion. ACBL holds monthly conference calls and ACB convention events that help people who are blind or visually impaired become more involved in local Lions clubs. Find out more. Call 502-897-1472 or email lions.acb@gmail.com.
You are listening to ACB Media One, also known as Mainstream, the flagship of the ACB Media Network. The ACB Media Network is a service of the American Council of the Blind. Please visit us at acbradio.org.